be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say immediately that it's going to rain. And so it does. And when you notice that the wind is blowing from the south, you say it's going to be hot. So it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? If you're to go with your opponent to settle before a magistrate, make an effort to settle the matter on the way. Otherwise, your opponent will turn you over to the judge. The judge hand you over to the constable. And the constable will throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, the Lord Jesus talks to us about reading the signs of the times. It's not just about meteorology. If it's gray and heavy outside, pack an umbrella. But so much more about the soul. He wants us to be able to see what the signs are. Called them hypocrites because they're constantly planning. The wind was blowing from the Mediterranean. They knew that they were going to get the water that had evaporated into the clouds that would come down on them. If we're flowing up from the desert of the Negev, they knew it wasn't going to be cool. And so Jesus is basically saying two things. One, all of these signs that you see in fulfillment of the messianic prophecy, what do they mean? To help them to draw the same conclusion they would from the weather. Second thing is how much they need that Messiah, because they're sinners very much in need of the redemption that he's bringing. So that's why he uses this legal case. Why aren't you making the judgment about what you need? You're making the judgment about whether you'd need to protect yourself from the rain or the heat. Why not in this circumstance? If you've got a problem with your brother, settle before you go before the judge. In the same way, when you know that you're a sinner, make amends now. Don't wait. St. John Chrysostom would say, now is the time where we go before the mercy of the Lord. Later would be the time we go before him as judge. So these are the types of things on which we should not procrastinate. But reading the signs of the times, that if Jesus come in the world right now, it's not the time to procrastinate on receiving his mercy. It's the time to go. That whole attitude you see in St. Paul in today's section from the letter to the Romans. We can identify with St. Paul here. It's one of the most enduring aspects of him, how human he was. And despite all the graces that God had given him, the battler he still was, because he had to fight hard. I do not do the good that I want, but I do the evil I don't want. And then he tries to read what that means. One of it is church's teaching on concupiscence. That there's an impact, there's an effect of original sin that's still within us. He notices that in the willing is ready at hand. The ultimate problem is what St. Peter himself would have been told by the Lord was going on prior to the Garden of Gethsemane. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That there is this separation between what we truly want to do and doing God's will and the difficulty and the way that we cave into temptation. St. Paul was reading that sign of the time. And he goes on to describe the war that was taking place within. And he finishes by saying, "Miserable one that I am, Who will deliver me from this mortal body with all these temptations, with all this fallenness? And then he gives one of the greatest non sequiturs, it seems, in all of sacred scripture. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does it mean? It means that when he says, who will deliver me from this mortal body, he knows exactly who will deliver him from this mortal body. And he's thanking him immediately because he's read the sign of the time. And it's not just the sign of his fallenness, of his weakness, of his frail flesh, but it's also the one who's made him see that frail flesh. The one who met him on the road to Damascus. The one who healed him from ripping Christians out of homes and presiding over their executions. He'll say in the next chapter, if God didn't spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, will he not give us everything else besides? Will he not give us deliverance from this mortal body? So that's why St. Paul, who tells us, in all circumstances, give thanks, including when it seems that the weak flesh is winning, is himself leading by example. Who will deliver me from this mortal body? St. Paul's going to attempt to answer that question throughout one of the most beautiful chapters in sacred scripture and one of the most important, the 8th chapter of the letter of the Romans, which will begin tomorrow and continue at the beginning of next week. And what will we see there? What is the remedy? We'll pick up two things there, and there's a third. First thing we need is prayer. When Jesus talks to Simon Peter about his spirit being willing and his flesh is weak, he says, therefore, pray and keep vigil, that you might not undergo the test. Prayer is always first. That's what we see St. Paul himself doing. And he begins with a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Second thing that we need is we need the gift of the Holy Spirit. The 8th chapter of the letter of the Romans is all about the power of the Spirit making us true children of God and of helping us achieve the redemption of the body. That very mortal body St. Paul is describing is going to be transformed. To let the Holy Spirit reign, to give him full permission, is the second means of deliverance. And we have to read the sign of that time too. That the ordinary time of the church is the time of the perpetual Pentecost, in which we're called not just to know about the Holy Spirit, but to live according to the Holy Spirit. And the third is mortification. After St. Paul describes the two ways we could live, life according to the Spirit or life according to the flesh, he then says, put to death then everything that is earthly in you. Mortify it, literally, kill it, make it dead. That's what's required. To see the end means to will the means. And so there is asceticism to our life that flows from our prayer and our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. He seeks to help us to put to death in us what is earthly. And the most effective way to do that is that when we're willing the things of the Spirit, because when we truly are cooperating with the Holy Spirit, the things of the flesh wane in importance. We recognize that what seems to be those needs are actually just desires, and many of those desires are not our strongest desires, but they're weaker, and they attenuate over the course of time when our desires for the kingdom grow. So God will deliver us from this mortal body, and for that we thank him. He does it by meeting us in prayer and strengthening us. He does it by sending the Holy Spirit to burn away all the impurities within. And he does it by giving us the strength through the Holy Spirit, that courage and that prudence, to be able to kill in us whatever's not worthy of God, so that we can experience the redemption of the body, and body and soul praise and thank God forever. In the responsorial psalm, we pray, Lord, teach me your ways. And he's answered that prayer.